You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is Mrs. LaGreca, Don's mom. Time for Michael K. Show with Don LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg, 98.7 ESPN.
And thank you very much to the great, beautiful, amazing Jay LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, and Don LaGreca on a Friday afternoon. I am coming to you from the home state of Don LaGreca, New Jersey. That's right. I knew that would excite you, Don.
What?
Yeah.
You're in Jersey City today, right?
That's right. I'm in Jersey City, New Jersey. Not to be confused with the place where Don is from, which is 80s Jersey, New Jersey.
That's right.
It's a different town, but
not
either
far,
way.
Maybe 30, 35 minutes.
Yeah,
away.
It's easy. Yeah, congratulations going out to my friends Anthony and Dana, who are getting married this weekend. I gotta go to the rehearsal dinner later on today, but there's a lot to get to, Don. I'm very excited because there was a chance that we were going to have to spend all of today breaking down what to me amounted to a monster nothing burger with cheese for the New York Knicks last night. And we will spend plenty of time on the Knicks tonight, and the phone lines are already open on whatever level you want to go to, whether it be Knicks or not, at 1-800-919-3776. But Don, let's start with Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey, and talk about yesterday we were talking about a signature Yankee win the night before. Maybe not signature, but a really fundamentally great win a couple of nights ago against Tampa. And Don, the comeback win last night being sealed with a Judge RBI to finish it 7-6 against the hated Astros in the Bronx. Maybe the win of the season so far for this Yankee team.
I mean, there's so many things to just get into here because you could go top 10 wins over the last decade, and 7 of them would be from this year. It's really incredible. But these are the Astros, and you spot them. Bregman hits the 3-run home run right out of the box, and I know a Yankee fan isn't sitting there going, oh, we're dead, because they got one of the best offenses in baseball, but you don't want to spot a really good team 3 runs. Then you come back, Stanton with the 3-run home run, only to see the Astros then hit a 3-run dinger to take a 6-3 lead. And then take that 6-3 lead into the ninth, Peter, against a Astros bullpen that leads all of Major League Baseball with the lowest earned run average of 2.55, mm-hmm. and score 4 runs off of that bullpen and beat them. Another signature walk-off win. Judge doesn't do it with a home run. He does it with, turns out to be, a single to win the game. And there were things that didn't go their way. Gallo 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts. Kiner Falefa gets thrown out trying to steal second base in that ninth inning. After the 3-run home run by Hicks, they created the next run in that very same inning to win the game. And then the Hicks 3-run home run, and I know people are saying he might get hit today because he was styling. He wasn't styling. He was relieved. You could almost hear it come out of his body, like, thank God, finally, on home field in front of 44,000 people, I finally have a moment. And it was just a sense of relief, like, thank God I now could be a part of this and maybe get some of the fans and media off my back. I was so happy for him. Good for him. What a win. What a season. And then on top of that, you get good news out of the Judge arbitration that they settled on the 19, which means both sides gave a little. So the feeling is that, well, maybe there isn't animosity. Maybe there isn't, you know, Judge trying to get after every single penny. So, really, there's nothing negative. You're floating on a cloud right now if you're a Yankee fan.
That's really, Don, what a beautiful moment you get to have today if you're a Yankee fan, because you're basking in the glory of this signature win, and now you get the news that, yeah, essentially, with Judge and the Yankees agreeing here, it at least is a sign of good faith on both sides. They want to come to the table. They want this to work out. This didn't have to go this way. This could have gone bitterly and been something that was hanging over Yankee fans' heads for a while. And instead, at least makes you believe these are two sides that are trying to get to the same place.
Right, because in the beginning of the season, you would think, hey, listen, Judge is trying to get his. Why should he cave? Why should he accept 17 when he can get 21? Now, I don't want to get into the minutiae of arbitration, but the whole feeling around Major League Baseball is them coming to a meeting of the minds here, both giving a little, is an excellent sign that at the end of the day, they're going to figure out a way to keep him. Because I've been a bottom line guy in this whole thing forever. I think the Yankees are not going to spend a penny more than they think he believes he's worth, and there'll be some team out there that might blow the Yankees out of the water. But as this season continues to move forward, Peter, how do you not want to make it work? From both ends. Like, could Judge even say to himself, listen, I might be able to get a little more out of San Francisco, but do I want to leave this?
Right.
He's becoming a god. It's obviously hyperbole because no human being can be a god. But my point is, for wearing a uniform where we're talking about, just in recent history, forget DiMaggio and Berra and Mantle, those are your grandfather's heroes. Those are your dad's heroes. You know, we're talking, you know, when you talk about Jeter and Posada and O'Neill and Williams and Pettit, tell me he's not standing right alongside those guys, the Don Mattinglys of the world. He's standing right there. The kind of season he's having, if this plays itself out and they win themselves a championship, Peter, he's there. He's right there. For this generation of Yankee fans, Judge is right there with all the other greats. Maybe not with the same hardware, but after a season like this, how beloved he is by this Yankee fan base, as dominant as he is, he's a 6'7" monster. If we all have a party, all the generations have a party, and your great-grandfather brings Garrick and Ruth, and your grandfather brings DiMaggio and Mantle, and your dad brings Jeter, you're bringing Judge. And guess what? You're welcoming into the party. They're bringing you in. They're giving you drinks, right? You know, they're lighting your cigar. You belong. Like, that's what we're talking about here. And forget the Yankees seeing it and the Yankees having to do it. Does he look at it and say, do I ever want to leave this?
Let's go back to last night, shall we? The great Michael Kay was calling the game on, yes, here's the aforementioned Aaron Hicks three-run shot.
And the pitch. High drive, right field. There it goes! See ya! There's the home run. He ties it with one swing. It is 6-6.
And then, of course, shortly thereafter, Aaron Judge walks it off with a single.
Driven down the left field line. It is a base hit. It goes into the corner. And the Yankees have done it again. Trevino scores. And they come all the way back for a dramatic 7-6 victory. Their ninth walk-off of the year.
And Judge with a few of those. And remember, Don, one of the little knocks on Judge was no walk-off. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, he's making up for it.
He's making up for it. Now, let's hear from Judge on that Yankees ninth inning rally. Aaron Judge, let's hear from him.
Wow. You know, just top to bottom, I think, you know, starting off getting on base and then, you know, just getting Hicksy up there with, you know, some guys on base to tie it. You know, I think there's a lot of good at-bats all the way around. You know, I think G started off. You know, it's just I could go through the whole every single guy. You know, every single pitch was important. You know, working, you know, one of the best closers in the game. You know, working him into that spot, and then Hicksy coming up big for us, man. That was big time.
This is a moment in time. God bless being a Yankee fan right now. What's it like, Yankee fans? Tell me how it feels.
I've, you know, we had a caller, Janice, back a week ago today, that. Oh, Don, you're just a jealous Met fan. Well, jealous isn't the word because, you know, the Mets are in first place. So why would I be jealous? You know, really, they're both in a trajectory where they'll go to the playoffs and have a chance to win a championship. So jealousy's not the word. But the envy of, I don't remember ever going through this with any of the teams that I root for. Maybe for me, 86 Giants went 14-2. But there's been plenty of teams to go 14-2, Peter. 15-1 even.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
You know, so it was a great season. It was a magic carpet ride. Mets 86, 108 wins. That was special. So that would probably be the two that hop to mind for me as far as times where I felt like I was in nirvana during the course of the regular season because everything was coming together. Everything you ever wanted happened right in front of your eyes. But this feels like, and listen, it's only the 24th of June, so we're not even halfway through the season. But 52-18, Peter. 52-18.
No, it sounds crazy. Do we know? Could we find out when the last 52-18 was? When was the last time anyone was 52-18? The 2001 Mariners, 21 years ago.
And by the way, nobody thinks about that because they didn't win. You know, same with Golden State, 73 wins. Nobody cares. They didn't win. And ultimately, nobody will care about how many wins the Yankees get in the regular season if they don't win. But we can't deal with that until we get to October.
That is Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Enjoy it responsibly. Let's go to the phone lines, 1-800-919-3776. We're going to get to the Knicks, too. So if any Knicks fans want to start getting in, we can do that as well. But let's start with some Yankees. We'll start with Capital P, also in Jersey, like me and Don today. What's up, P?
Hey, man, what's going on, fellas? You know, Jersey's own P. Yo, Peter, man, I got bars, just to let you know. I got bars.
Okay, but okay, word.
I digress. We'll talk about it later time. But, hey, man, look, Aaron Judge just hit a walk-off last night, and he had his arbitration here today. The Yankees short-sighted him again. So what you think is going to happen during his contract talks during the offseason? The dude is about to win MVP. If the Yankees win the World Series, they have to give him $35 to $40 million a year, but they're playing games with him. They paid Severino. They paid Hicks. Come on, man. Like, think about it. Didn't they pay Gary Sanchez, too?
But here's
come on now. What's
all right, but here's the deal, okay? Yeah, you can look at it as a slap at the face, but Judge gave too. So all I'm looking at from a positive aspect is that maybe Judge is realizing, like, yeah, Judge could have fought it. He could have went to the arbitration to try to get his $21 million. But he figured, you know what, why get contentious? Yeah, I'll have my day in court when the season's over. I'm answering everything with my bat.
He's a company man, you're right, you know, because the Yankees, I mean, the Yankees – we're the best organization in sports, if you want to think about it. I mean, I know somebody was saying to Don, like, are you a jealous Mets fan? But, Don, at the end of the day, you can't be jealous. You guys got, you know, you guys got Jacob DeGrom. You might, guys might not have the rings, but you got DeGrom, and, you know, you got Scherzer. So, when September comes, I mean, come on, man.
P, there's no doubt about it. It's a fascinating baseball season because the thing is, you have a day like today where, of course, we come in talking Yankees as we should. But to P's point there, Don, I mean, it's pretty amazing when you think about what's going on in Queens as well. And it's just ridiculous that it's happening the same season. Let's go to Charlie in Sharon Springs. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, Don. Peter, Charlie. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I have been a longtime fan from day one when you came on Yes. But I want to comment, last night's game was fantastic. It was a game that should go on Yankeeography, but it was so exciting. And when Judge went in there and he brought in that run, boy, he just made everybody excited. You could see all the fans just standing up and shouting. And Cashman, what they should do, they should get that contract, sign it, hand it over to them, just put down whatever you want.
Well, that's not going to happen. I get that's the euphoria feeling right now. They're not going to give him whatever he wants. That's just not good business. Now, will they come off of what they originally offered? They'll probably have to. But, Peter, it's not good business. I don't care how rich, how flush with cash you are of just giving a player, you know, a blank check and say, go, you know, write your own contract. That's not going to happen. But clearly they need to find some way to figure this out. Because even as somebody that's not a Yankee fan, and forget that we benefit from talking about this season on our show, it would what a crime it would be if he left. Forget about who's at fault, Peter. If this thing ends up ending the way we all believe it could end, and as much as it would benefit whoever picked up Judge in the offseason, what a crime it would be if this ends in a divorce.
It would be terrible. And because of that, I understand why people immediately go to just give him everything. But the thing is, guys, you didn't get to 27 championships by being the kind of team that does that. Like, that's part of actually the reason why Aaron Judge even wants to be here. You know what I mean, Don? The New York Yankees are not a broken-down organization like my Washington Commanders or the New York Knicks, who we have to discuss as well. This is a team who has always done things the right way, and because of that, they're going to have to go into this as a legitimate broker for themselves. But of course they want to keep him. And let's not act as if their offer to him before the season was a complete slap in the face. It wasn't. Most baseball experts, if you looked at the numbers relative to the other great players in the game, the Mike Trouts, the Mookie Bettses, etc., Judge's offer was fine. It wasn't enough for him, so they'll keep going forward. But we can't act as if, Don, the Yankees have been completely disrespectful to Judge. I know he's making it very tough. To be clear, he's made it as tough as humanly possible. He is Don, he's backing them up against the wall. They're pulling the change out of their pockets.
Well, because it's easy for a fan to see what happened last night and watch this season and not see the warts. And the warts are not his game. The warts are that this contract that he's going to negotiate and sign will kick in when he's 31 years old. And we can't forget about the injuries that he had prior to these last two seasons when he's been healthy. That's what's at play here. But nobody, I don't think the Yankees, I don't think anybody's questioned the kind of game he can play when he's healthy.
Now let's get into today's starting lineup brought to you by Nissan, the New York Mets at Miami tonight. Brandon Nimmo leading off and playing center. Starling Marte, batting second, playing right. Francisco Lindor batting third, playing short, of course. Pete Alonso cleaning up, no surprise there, first base. Luis Guillorme playing second, batting fifth. What's this guy's name? Mark Canna, I believe, playing left and batting sixth.
That's right.
The great Edgardo Escobar, otherwise known as Eduardo Escobar, batting seventh, playing third. Dominic Smith, the DH, batting eighth. And Tomas Nito catching and batting ninth. And that, of course, was today's starting lineup brought to you by Nissan. Nissan's an easier choice than ever with their exciting and fuel-efficient lineup. Now get great offers across their full line. Shop at your local Nissan store at NissanUSA.com. Back to the phones, 1-800-919-3776. Don, we can't wait any longer.
Nope.
It's his birthday.
Finally
it's
got
time
it right.
For Harry in Inglewood Cliffs. Happy birthday, Harry. 99, baby.
I made it.
One more big one to get to, Harry. I don't want to start getting ahead, but this next one now, the next 364 days, this is a celebration every day.
Oh, I don't know what to say. I've been getting so many calls because of you guys. I've been getting so many calls. I don't know, and I guess I have to raise my autograph prices to about five. Yeah.
Now, Harry, what's the chance we're going to see you to celebrate the 99th birthday at the Beach Bash next week?
Oh, listen, I'll be there. You know that.
Okay.
No way, because I have to tease you about my Warriors. I told you they were going to win in six. And I hated to do that to you because you're one of my buddies.
You did. You called it. You got it right. Listen, at least I got to watch history being made. Also, what a great day for a 99th birthday while Aaron Judge is just absolutely raking.
Oh, God. It's unbelievable. And you know, I was watching the game, And when he came up, first of all, when what's-his-name came up to hit that home run, I had a gut feeling that he was going to hit the home run. Isn't that something?
That is something. You got to play the lottery.
Yeah.
That's right. This could be Harry, 99th birthday is a big day. Not a lot of people get a 99th birthday, so you should play the lotto today.
I'm so thankful, and I got the best family in the world, and I got the best friends in the world, and what else could you ask for?
Well, we love you, Harry, man.
Happy birthday, Harry. We'll see you next week. I'm buying you a shot. I'm buying a shot on me next week, Harry.
Okay, buddy. I appreciate it very much, and congratulations again. I couldn't get through, but I sent in the email to Andrew. And
oh, that was so sweet, Harry. Thank you. And Natalie says thank you, too. We really appreciate it, Harry. We'll see you next week, bud.
And Harry, I'm going to download a bunch of boxing videos and show them to you on my phone when I see you Friday.
Okay. And don't forget to high-five me. Otherwise, I'm going to be mad.
Yeah, don't move. Don't look bad, Harry, okay?
Thanks, Harry.
Amazing.
Okay.
Take care.
Thank
you very
much.
See you next week. There he is.
Love Harry. Harry's
the great Harry in Inglewood Cliffs, 99 years young today.
99, baby.
99. Let's take
99, baby.
Now, Andrew sent this over. You mentioned the Mariners are the only ones that had a better first 70 games. They went 53-17.
Wow.
Lost in the league championship series to the Yankees in 01. Otherwise, 39 Yankees, 29 Athletics, 28 Yankees, all 53-17. 84 Tigers, 52-18. All those teams won the World Series. And if you want to go back to since 1930, the best starts for any team over the first 80. I mentioned also you want to throw in the 55 Dodgers were 51-19, 51 Orioles were 51-19, and the 98 Yankees were 51-19. All of them won the World Series with the exception of the Mariners who lost in the League Championship Series and Baltimore who lost to the Mets in the World Series. So the numbers really show you. You get off to that kind of a start, Peter, your chances of winning it all are amazing.
Let's take one more from the phones. Everything jammed up. And Don, we were debating before the show. Do we start Yankees? Do we start Knicks? I said, you know what? Let's just open the phones on everything. But no surprise, Don, the happiness is outweighing the sort of mediocre, nothing burger feelings that Knicks fans have today. Because every call we're seeing right now is about the Yankees. But, of course, we will get to the Knicks draft day decisions as well. Let's go to Muhammad on Long Island. What's up, Muhammad?
What's going on, man? Thanks for taking my call. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Congratulations to you, Peter.
Thanks,
Don, Mo. I've called so many times to try to get through. You are the funniest person on ESPN Radio. My favorite all-time drop, you was having a rant about Barry Bonds getting into the Hall of Fame, and it was P.E.D., Schmeeds. I might have cried laughing for like 20 more minutes going to work. I remember it to the day. I think that was the
Schmeeds.
First day I started the drop. Oh, my goodness, man.
Thank you, Mom.
I think that was the first year y'all started doing the tournament. But my poll was about maybe – I think I might have heard it on the show before, but is it possible that, you know, the brass at the Yankees could have – this could have been their plan all along? We'll make him show us, and if he shows us, we'll make him the highest paid player in baseball. And if he doesn't, then it's something else that we can use in our negotiations for his contract. I don't think they're in their offices, you know, scared that they're going to have to pay him a boatload of money. This could have been their plan all along. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Mo, thank you for everything. Don, I think that's a really fair point. And given Brian Cashman, no matter what people want to say in the offseason, people want to come for cash. If you really look, the proof is in the pudding for what this team has been since he's been running this show. Don't you think it's entirely possible that was the thought? Like, hey, we hope he shows it to us. We hope that we have to pay him an obscene amount of money.
I guess it's possible. I just think that they gave an offer that they thought was fair. And I really believe they thought that if he was healthy, he was capable of doing this. Because he's threatened for the MVP before. He just hasn't been able to stay healthy to really get that much of a chance. Was healthy last year. So I think it was a combination of let's see if he can do it back-to-back years and be healthy, and we're going to give him an offer that we believe is fair. Because, Peter, you're really tempting fate. They had to know once he tests free agency, the money's going to get obnoxious. So I think they made every attempt to have him avoid free agency, They just felt that that's what he was worth at the time. So I don't know if it was some kind of conspiracy theory to try to get this season out of him or let's see. I think the only thing they wanted to see is can he put together back-to-back seasons of health.
And, man, so far, so good for Aaron Judge last year and this year. Health-wise, play-wise, he's been amazing. Let's get into the Yankees starting lineup, which is brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Don, you want to take a shot at Rest Roulette?
I'm going to go, even though Verlander's right-handed, Gallo was just 0 for 4 with 3 strikeouts. Really the only blemish on what was a gorgeous night for the Yankees. I'm going to say that Gallo sits tonight.
Let's see. LeMayu will lead off and play first. Judge will play center and bat second. What did I say, LeMayu? I said LeMayu.
Well, that was tough for Anthony to do that, but I
– Yeah, he wasn't necessary. It was a bad guy. It's a bad guy move. It was just a slight, you know, slip, but okay. DJ LeMayu will lead off and play first. Judge will play center and bat second. Rizzo, the DH, third. Stanton playing right and batting cleanup. Josh Donaldson playing third, batting fifth. Torres, great again last night, by the way, playing second and batting sixth. Hicks, 7. Kiner Falefa, 8. And that was, you could get me on that one, too, because I didn't go Falefa. I went Falefa. Higashioka catching and batting 9. Seve on the hill, and Don nails Rest Roulette.
Yeah!
You're getting good, Don. You really hit your sweet spot here.
I'm rolling. I got a feel now. Now I've got my finger on the pulse of this team.
That is today's Yankee starting lineup. It's brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Bigelow Tea, proud supporter of the Michael Kay Show and the official hot tea of Joe Torre and the New York Yankees. More of your calls next, 1-800-919-3776. Also, we got to get into the Knicks draft night and how Knicks fans feel about that. We'll also do more on Aaron Judge's arbitration situation and so much more. Peter and Don on the Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN. LeMayu will lead off.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Michael Kay Show.
With Judge and the Yankees agreeing, it at least is a sign of good faith on both sides.
In the beginning of the season, you would think, hey, listen, Judge is trying to get his. Why should he cave? Why should he accept 17 when he can get 21? The whole feeling around Major League Baseball is them coming to a meeting of the minds here is an excellent sign that at the end of the day, they're going to figure out a way to keep him. Because I think the Yankees are not going to spend a penny more than they think he believes he's worth, and there'll be some team out there that might blow the Yankees out of the water. But as this season continues to move forward, Peter, how do you not want to make it work? From both ends. Like, could Judge even say to himself, listen, I might be able to get a little more out of San Francisco, but do I want to leave this? He's becoming a god.
The Michael Kay Show.
What a crime it would be if he left.
On 98.7 ESPN.
It would be a crime, Don. It would be a crime. And we did get our first Yankee curmudgeon caller of the day.
Wasn't what we expected, but hey, listen, there's layers.
And it's normally the curmudgeons are out, but I mean, this team's been so damn good that it's quiet for the curmudgeons. And this portion of the K Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Superbook Sports is live in New Jersey. Visit superbook.com for all the latest odds and promotions. Have a problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. More Beach Bash VIP passes to give away in a bit, Don. Alan Hahn joining us at 4:30. Yesterday, the Knicks draft was very interesting, would be the wrong word, Don. I would say what's the exact opposite of interesting? It still remains to be seen what will happen with the trade and accumulation of picks that the Knicks put together last night. But, Don, this was a night that, to me, felt like the actions of a team who thought they had time, who was willing to sort of play things slow. I was very disappointed. I'm not saying Jaden Ivey's the guy. You know, we thought he would go at 4. He didn't. Maybe he's not. Maybe they just weren't in full-bloom love. But if you're a Knicks fan, Don, I don't know how you walk away feeling good, because it's not like you can have confidence that the Knicks are going to be able to turn these picks around and it will lead to something else. Yes, you're happy they've done away with Kemba Walker's contract, so they were able to get out from under a huge mistake from last offseason. So I guess that's a little bit of a step forward. But Don, how can you feel good and trusting that anything that happened last night is going to lead to anything good?
Well, let me make this clear. There's no reason to kill the Knicks because I don't know how they felt about Ivy. So I can't put words in their mouth. I can't get them to feel something they don't feel. Plus, maybe Sacramento didn't want to make the deal. You know, maybe they couldn't get something done to get him. So I can't kill them for that. And we'll see what Ivy ends up being anyway. You know, maybe he won't be a great player and it won't matter. We'll have to wait and see. But I guess what's frustrating for Knicks fans, Peter, is what did you do? Cap space. Well, what good has cap space been for this team over the last decade? So I can understand a fan saying, oh, great, we created cap space. So what? We can get free agents to not want to come here? And so I can understand that feeling, but you still have to create it. So kudos on them because you can't act that way. You got to create the cap space, but it's not going to get a Knicks fan excited because cap space means signing free agents, and they haven't had a lot of success in that. The other thing is 11 picks over the next 7 years. Does Leon Rose think he's going to be here 7 years from now? Like that's the feeling. Like, oh, great, you got a bunch of draft picks. Well, how great has the Knicks draft really been to get excited about all those picks? So maybe it'll turn out to be great. Maybe the cap space will allow them to sign a big-name free agent. Maybe of all those draft picks, somebody will be the next Greek Freak. Somebody will be the next Steph Curry. But right now, how do you get excited about something that's really far in the future? And when you read the tea leaves recently, has any of those things ever worked out? So it's hard to really get excited.
Don, is it true what we were told earlier that the last time the Knicks re-signed a draft pick of their own, it was Charlie Ward?
That's right.
Do you realize how horrifying that is?
You realize how long ago that was?
Do you realize there are kids going, who?
Right. So you don't re-sign your draft picks. You don't really sign great free agents because for some reason they don't want to come here because usually free agents want to go to a ready-made team. So Leon Rose and Perry and the Knicks did all the right things to get the cap space and the picks, but does that excite anybody when they haven't had great drafts and they haven't been able to sign the free agents? So maybe that'll change, and I want to give Leon Rose the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they'll be able to use that cap space wisely, and the picks turn out to be something. Maybe they can turn those picks, Peter, into a trade to get that player. But this is not football where you salivate over picks because, let's face it, Michael, that you build through the draft in the NFL. You know, same in the NHL and Major League Baseball. Get a bunch of picks. That's why the Astros and the Cubs tank so they can get a lot of great picks to build up and maybe win a championship someday. The NBA is all about getting that one great player and then pairing it with another great player. So yeah, maybe that'll happen in the draft, but unless they turn out to be first overall picks, usually you don't get that type of player unless something falls into your lap. And you know, wake me when they can finally convince a transcendent free agent to come here.
And Don, football has a 53-man roster. Like, you have room that you can keep people around and see what they're capable of. Basketball doesn't afford you that luxury. You can't really just waste people on your roster. So having a huge collection of draft picks is nice capital to have, but how many of those are actually going to turn into players on your basketball team? Let's hear from Bobby Marks, who is not a fan of the Knicks draft night.
You traded the 11th pick, and now you get three future protected ones. I think two of them probably never come to fruition. They turn into seconds, and the Milwaukee picks in 2025, and it feels like when you're moving Kemba Walker's salary, and there's probably another move there, that you're banking on free agency, which is hard to do if you think it's going to be a player like maybe Jalen Brunson that you're going to pay $20 to $22 million in salary. So I just thought there was an opportunity for New York at pick 11 to go out and maybe get a building block here to add to RJ Barrett and just build this roster organically.
Stephen A. Smith on First Take weighed in on the Knicks draft night.
The New York Knicks have had 17 losing seasons in the last 21 years. They had 9 straight losing seasons had three straight winning seasons. Mike Woodson did a great job, won the Atlantic Division crown, actually won a playoff series. And then after that, they had another six or seven losing seasons before they won last year with Tom Thibodeau teasing us into believing that new times have arrived. And then we see the same old nonsense taking place. You watched that draft. You covered that draft last night. I was on ABC. You were on ESPN, Big Bird. You saw the talent in that draft. You got a lottery pick. What's the cardinal rule about having a lottery pick? When you got a lottery pick, you got to get a lottery talent. That's what you need to do. You don't walk into the draft. Even though it was at the Barclays Center, damn it, it's still New York. It's one of the boroughs. You're in New York City. You have robbed fans of a reason to be joyous, and a reason to be hopeful for the better part of the last 21 years.
Now, this cap space could get Brunson. Is that a needle mover? Is that somebody that's going to lead this team to the promised land in what is a hefty competitive Eastern Conference?
It's funny who you ask on this. You know, in our group chat, Ryan Hurley, not moved by the idea of Jalen Brunson. Andrew Gundling is moved by the idea, particularly after Brunson's performance in the playoffs.
I love this guy.
Regular season numbers don't jump out at you, though, do they?
No, they don't make you feel like, oh, my God, this guy could change our team. I'm not saying that he couldn't, but when you look at his stats alone, you go, is that enough to make you feel great? I don't think it is. But at the same time, Don, they got to start building this thing piece by piece. I think we keep hoping that they're going to just get it all done at once. That's not happening. So I really agree with Steven. I mean, I just thought last night was abysmal. You can't show up. I don't care if you tell me that this draft class wasn't fantastic. You walk away with zero. And how many of these picks even turn into the picks that they're supposed to be? The best case scenario.
Well, you have to hope that these picks are going to be used for something else.
Alan was on ESPN Radio, of course, last night, and talked about, are the Knicks all in on Jalen Brunson?
The bottom line is they move Kemba and his salary. They get three first-round picks next year, but moving Kemba's salary allows them to open up as much as $20 million in cap space. That is significant because with Kemba gone, they don't have a starting point guard. Could that money be now reserved for Jalen Brunson, whose father, Rick Brunson, was just hired by the Knicks as an assistant coach? Tom Thibodeau, Rick Brunson, Leon Rose, William Wesley, they all go back many, many years. They have known Jalen a long time. Reports have been that they are very interested in Jalen and bringing him in as a free agent. He had a very good run with the Mavericks in the playoffs as a scoring guard, get into the paint. So it just really tea leaves. It looks like that might be the motivation by the Knicks of, instead of taking a pick in 11, we're going to do this.
All right. And maybe that's the plan. So what does that look like? With Barrett, with Randall, with Thibodeau, what's the ceiling?
Let's hear from you, 1-800-919-3776. We'll start with Anthony and Yonkers. Your thoughts on your Knicks?
Yeah, my thoughts on the Knicks. You know what my thoughts on the Knicks are, Pete? My thoughts on the Knicks are the same thoughts I've had for the past 20 years, that I'm ready to jump onto the middle of the Cross Bronx Expressway and just let them have their way with me.
Yeah, and you won't. I've been on the Cross Bronx. You won't last 5 minutes, Anthony, and that's no offense to you.
I'm so sick of this, of what's going on. We brought in Leon Rose and we brought in World Wide West, and we brought them in supposedly for the relationships that they've had with players. Okay, that was the reason for bringing them in. These guys have great relationships with the superstars of the NBA. We haven't gotten a sniff of one superstar. And now you're going to tell me the guy that they're going to bring in as a savior or as the big-time free agent acquisition is Jalen Brunson? And we had to hire his old man for him to even want to come here? If he does come here? Are you kidding me? We go last night into this draft. I'm sick of the Jordan Hills and the Wilson Chandlers and the Frank Ntilikinas and the Kevin Knoxes, and I'm going on and on and on, and we do nothing. We do nothing. We give up draft picks for guys that we're going to get 5 years from now. I got news for you, Nick. You're never going to get a superstar at 11. You're never going to get a superstar at 12. That's where we're always going to draft that, because we're going to always be the eighth seed, the ninth seed. We're not going to win the draft. We're going to get R.J. Barrett when we couldn't have gotten who was the guy that they took in front of him? Sorry, I'm going crazy here.
John Morant?
From Memphis.
Yep.
John Morant. Could have got John Morant, we get R.J. Barrett. Could have got Zion Williamson? Nope, we get R.J. Barrett. It's getting to the point now that it's become a joke. It's become a joke. I waste money. I go to these games. I pay ridiculous amounts of money for me, my son, my girlfriend, to get into these Knicks games, to sit there, to cheer, for them to just rip my heart out of my body every offseason because they do nothing. And they expect us to keep coming back, and they expect us to keep watching them. And unfortunately, I am going to keep watching them because I'm a moron, and I'm tired of being a moron, and I'm tired of what they're doing to me.
Well, listen, I'm not surprised by his frustration, Peter, because this was a nothing burger. And you're looking into the future, and what have they done in free agency and drafting to lead you to believe that it's going to be any different than it's been over the last 20 years. However, you still need to create the cap space. If you're going to make a deal, you do need picks. So there is a wait-and-see attitude for this. So I will disagree with Anthony that it's the same old Knicks. We'll wait and see what this becomes. I don't know if Ivy's going to be a special player. I don't know if there's a free agent out there that's going to move the needle this year. But they did tell you in Leon Rose's statement that you're going to have to be more patient, that what happened last year when they were the four seed was an aberration. And now you're in a really full-blown rebuild. If you're bragging about having so many picks for the next 7 years, Peter, you're not exactly telling people that this upcoming season is going to be any great shakes. And even with Brunson and Randall and Barrett, like, what's your ceiling? A four seed, a five seed, a play-in? Like, I think Knicks fans want to see a plan here that's going to pop to where they could compete with the Sixers and the Nets if Kyrie comes back, and the Bucks, and the Celtics. And not just be a team that's going to be making the playoffs and get bounced in the first round. And that looks like what they're going to be for the foreseeable future.
Let's go to Matt in Philly. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
How you doing?
I wanted to kind of just vent, if I'm being honest. So initially, I want to say I understand the logic with the OKC trade, the first trade. To get a couple more first-round picks. My issue with it is the Kemba salary dump just kind of felt desperate. It also felt kind of rushed. And if Brunson is the end goal, I'm just uninspired by that. I also will say that they better have trades lined up for Burks, Noel, Rose in particular. These guys got to be moved. My last question is, what does this do for IQ? I think at the end of the year, he played maybe 28 minutes a game. If Brunson is the goal, how many minutes per game is he playing? Thanks, guys.
Well, you hope more. You want to see these kids play. Now, the reason he got the minutes that he did at the end was because of, you know, they were being out of it. But that's the other thing, Peter. If you're going to let the kids play and it's going to be like a big plan here, is Thibodeau the answer?
Well,
you're not going to win for the next few years. I mean, like, right, so is this the coach for, like, a young team that's thinking about the future? Is Thibodeau going to be here for that length of time? Is that news for you? I don't think he had a great year last year. Do you?
No. I have eyeballs and some brain capacity. This is clearly not a great season for Thibodeau. Let's go to Mario in Jersey City.
Bear's upset.
Yeah, Bear doesn't like Thibodeau at all. Mario, what you got for us?
How's it going, guys? I try to talk about the Knicks. I'm not a Knicks fan, but I just hate to see what they're doing. They're always, like, a little bit too late. Brunson would have been a great trade at the trade deadline last year, and now he's super expensive. He's a, like, under three assists guy, so he's basically a younger Kemba. They need a pass-first point guard that averages about 6 or 7 assists because they got a bunch of wing players. They got nobody to distribute. They got to start simple. Like, get somebody like a shooter. He's cheap. Get somebody, you know, pass-first point guard. CP3, like, a few years ago, would have been great. I think a pass-first point guard will probably elevate them probably to 6th or 7th seed and just keep everything intact. But Brunson, he's basically going to take up cap space, and he's going to be just like Kemba. He's just going to be a shooter and nobody distributing the ball. So that's basically what I wanted to say about the Knicks.
And by the way, he mentioned CP3, Don. Yeah. Do you remember a few years ago when we thought CP3 was an option and our thought, like a lot of people's thought, was just like, he's too old. Why are you going to do there?
And fast forward 2 years from now.
Exactly. Fast forward now. I don't even sense it's the end for CP3. And so you wonder, those things have passed the Knicks by too, Don. Like the aging veteran who maybe you get on their last contract, but we're seeing still be productive. They haven't gotten any sniffs on those either.
I know. That's what I really feel for Knicks fans. And again, not one draft, not one offseason is going to change everything. But take a look at this conference. And the frustration Knicks fans feel of, well, we can't win because LeBron's there. And then, oh, look at the Bucks. But then the Bucks get replaced by the Celtics. Oh, by the way, the Sixers are still good. Oh, by the way, Kyrie still might figure out something with the Nets so they could be back. The Heat don't seem to ever go away. So are they even dancing with those teams, Peter? So like the call, oh, maybe they're 7, 8 seed. Oh, great. But you want to start building towards something that where in a couple of years you're the Celtics. You're the Sixers. You're the Bucks. Well, when is that going to happen?
Isn't it crazy how hard it is for the franchises in any sport who have not been able to figure it out to right the ship? Don, it's one of the hardest things in the world to do. You just see it so rarely.
And maybe this is also the logic about getting all the picks, if they keep the picks, is that, you know, occasionally, like, Giannis was taking 15. Right, so is it, hey, we're just going to have a bunch of picks, you know, maybe we get lucky. Maybe finally the gods smile upon us and we take somebody at 12 that turns out to be the next Jordan. Where was Curry taken? 8?
No, lower. Wasn't Curry like 12?
Well, but so you do see times where you have a bunch of picks, maybe, because that's part of it's been just unlucky that they just haven't been able to just even like step in it with a player. Where, you know, Golden State was able to do that. Milwaukee was able to do with that. Like, somebody that excels that wasn't the first overall
seventh.
Pick, that wasn't a lottery pick. Right, so Curry, who was one
seventh.
Of the top 10 players of all time, was taken 7.
Yeah.
You know, Giannis was taken 15. I mean, they haven't been able to catch that break.
Well, the hard part is it a break? Or is it they don't have a good – they don't have the staff to do it?
Well, part of it, too, is that, you know, it wasn't like they passed on Morant. Right? So sometimes the great player was the pick before. Like, didn't they have the reason I said 8, did the Knicks have the 8th pick when Curry went 7?
Yeah.
Where did Morant go? It's 2? And they had the 3rd pick. So sometimes, yeah, you're right. The scouting isn't great. They have been able to find that diamond in the rough. But sometimes the team that was ahead of them just, you know, stole the guy.
No, it's obviously a mix of luck and skill that's killed the Knicks when it comes to drafting. But, man, you just look back. They passed on Donovan Mitchell, right?
Right.
They lost out on John Morant and Zion Williamson when you thought they could maybe.
Oh, yeah, there's misses. I'm not defending them completely. I'm just saying that you would think all these years there'd be one that they would just that they would step in it. No, they've got mistakes.
But still, you'd like to.
You know, Frederick Weiss, let's not forget that.
Oh, yeah, there have been plenty. Nilakina. I mean, listen, Kristaps turned out to be a disaster when it's all said and done. I mean, it was fun for a second. Let's go
the
to
trade
Jaylen.
Was good.
Say, who was?
The trade wasn't bad. The selection was booed. The whole thing just didn't right. turn out well.
It
never does.
Let's pick this up with the great Alan Hahn, who knows more about this than anyone. We'll do that next. Your call, 1-800-919-3776, The K Show on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I promised a big update from Buck Showalter on Max Scherzer. Let's hear it.
So he will not pitch for you Sunday. Here.
No, nobody ever said he was. People projected because of where he was, but we, talking to Max and talking to everybody, we think he's making the progress he should be, and right where he needs to be. We're getting closer.
You say somewhere Monday, that could be a minor league start?
Could be. We'll just see how he feels the next couple of days. I think today and tomorrow. See how everything is progressing.
Little more from Buck clarifying the situation.
Sunday or Monday, if he could potentially pitch for somebody other than us.
Okay. So he'll make one more rehab start?
Maybe more. I don't know.
Okay, at least one.
Or he could have a couple of work days. That'd be fine. He's not going to pitch for us Sunday.
Gotcha.
I guess that's the ultimate bottom line. He's not pitching Sunday. And the reason people speculated about Sunday was because he had the rehab start on Tuesday. So that's the allotted rest for the next start to be Sunday. So people kind of projected that, all right, if everything goes well in Binghamton, he should be ready for Sunday. Not that it didn't go well, but apparently they want to see more. So I would think Sunday or Monday he'll be somewhere else, and then we'll find out. So I wouldn't think this is bad news, but it's not what we thought.
Now let's go to the other side of town.
Mm-hmm.
In the Bronx, and hear from Aaron Boone, who reacted to Judge's arbitration settlement.
What's your reaction to the resolution to the Aaron Judge contract situation, and did you speak with him about it at all today?
I'm pleased getting that news today. I was excited about it. I spoke to him briefly on the phone a couple hours ago, just make sure, timing-wise and everything, he was good, and so excited that that's behind us, and we can leave that portion of the show alone.
That is today's Around the Bases, brought to you by Nissan. Nissan's an easier choice than ever with their exciting and fuel-efficient lineup. Now get great offers across their full line. Shop at your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com. Yeah, Don, you have to imagine if you're Aaron Boone. It's just nice to not have to have it on your plate right now. Like, this is something you'll deal with later, but for this season, which could be, let's be real, we talk about how bad the fans want this championship.
Mm-hmm.
Don, think about how much Boone wants it. Think about how solidified Boone is. If they win 115 games in the World Series, think about how locked in Aaron Boone is as Yankee manager.
I know, but his first year they won 103 games. The second year they won 100. But they didn't go to the World Series, so nobody looks back at how great those seasons were. What a failure. I mean, Allen's right. It's a shame, but he's right. That in the back of everybody's mind while they're enjoying this, they realize it's not going to mean anything unless they win the championship. Nobody talks about the Warriors' 73-win season because they didn't win the championship. So it almost becomes kind of an embarrassment, right? Where you won all those games, you didn't win the championship. So
isn't it crazy, Don? They win 115 games, and they win the World Series. I would say we would safely assume Aaron Boone will be manager for maybe the next 5 years.
Yeah.
They win 115 games and lose the World Series. There are going to be people calling for Boone's job.
Of course they will, because that's the end game for this franchise. Now, again, they won 203 games in his first 2 years as manager. It didn't matter. Because they didn't win. They didn't even go to the World Series. So it's all about championships, which I get. But what I would tell the fans is it's June 24th. You can't win a playoff game on June 24th. And if you're going to sit here and go, I don't know, I don't want to win all these games because it's going to put more pressure, well, then what are you watching for? Enjoy the run and then worry about October come October, because don't you want it to be special? Because if this team goes out there and, say, breaks the record is 116 wins. That's the record. So let's say they go out and win 117 games, which right now seems very feasible.
It's on the table.
And they win the World Series. We're talking about one of the greatest teams in the history of this sport, and statistically the greatest, because it would have been the highest win total ever in a regular season. So, yeah, a loss would be devastating, but, man, you want to go after that brass ring, right? Because maybe you'll get it. So why would you root against or not enjoy what's happening here? Believe me, October, the pressure will mount. I get it. But you can't do anything about it on June 24th except enjoy what has been a hell of a ride.
Now, I'm going to read this Beach Bash contest and give away some VIP passes. And I'm not here to direct Yes. But if Yes can go to the full wide shot of my hotel room, there's a simply glorious, gorgeous view of Bear the Dog right now in the background. Give the audience a treat. That's
you're
all
directing
I'm saying.
Now.
I said I'm not directing, okay?
But
so
you
not
are.
Direct.
You're saying you're not, but you are.
No, I said if they wanted to, you'd get a glorious look at Bear. That's all I'm saying. You do whatever you want. All right. Now, listen, will Bear the Dog make an appearance at the Beach Bash? It remains to be seen, but we will all be there. That's right. The whole squad will be in effect next Friday, a week from today, July 1st. Bar A in Lake Como. Bar A becomes Bar K. It's going to be an amazing day. Giveaways to everyone in attendance. Brian Kirk and the Jerks. Really phenomenal event. And it's all brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, Casa de Monte Cristo, Calandra's Bakery, Rutgers Athletics, and PGA Tour Superstore. All right? It's going to be a happening.
It's a gorgeous shot.
You saw it?
I'm seeing it now.
Oh, you're seeing it? Yeah, yeah. I'm
a little bit behind.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, there he is in all his glory. I told you. He's in a perfectly adorable spot. Great job, Yes. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Joe Frambach, I think I'm saying it right, is the director today.
Shouts to Joe.
A gorgeous, gorgeous shot of what is a gorgeous bear luxuriating in what looks to be a fabulous bed.
Yeah,
and
really,
a fabulous hotel.
Oh, he's chilling. Yeah, he's chilling.
He's chilling and maxing, cruising in a car he spent all day waxing.
Wow, a little summertime? You're going to make me want to come back out of the next stop, so a little summertime. All right, so right now, caller 1-888-987-ESPN. You win a pair of VIP passes, which includes two event T-shirts, access to the Beach Cafe barbecue, and a preferred viewing area to see Don LaGreca maybe take off his shirt and sing something incredible. You got to be 21 or older to enter. For full contest rules, go to ESPNNewYork.com. We're excited to see everyone in person. We're excited to see what shirts come out. There's always something special. And we're excited to talk to you next. Yankees, Knicks, everything on the table on a Friday, 1-800-919-3776. Peter and Don on the K Show on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Michael K. Show.
Alan Hahn, were you of the mindset that Jaden Ivey was worth moving heaven and earth for?
Yes. Oh, yeah, 100%. Well, then after talking to the kid after he was drafted, I still believe it. They did try to move up. There was attempts at 4 with the Kings. The Kings said, you have nothing we want. So then they tried at 5 with the Detroit Pistons. And the Pistons, I'm told, kind of said, yeah, no way. We're not interested in moving off this pick because we know what's there. And what they learned was they don't have enough assets and there's not enough value on their roster. We put so much value into Obi Toppin and Emmanuel Quickley and Quentin Grimes because we see them every day. And as fans, you just say that these are our draft picks. We fall in love with them. They're our kids. And the other teams are looking going, those are not starters in the NBA. And the Knicks don't possess that right now.
The Michael K. Show.
I am going to keep watching them because I'm a moron.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Yeah. That's the thing, Don. I respect that call from Anthony.
No, it was from the heart. It was honest. It was everything you wanted to call and more.
I don't know if Yes can see, but Bear has stepped his positioning up. Oh, no, he's leaving, and he's down.
He's
not.
Listen.
He's had enough.
Can I just take a moment here?
Please.
Because I know it's only one guy. I don't want to be like Michael and be sensitive about a tweet. All right? Okay. But, like, Junior Brown tweeted. Don LaGreca, different standard for the prestigious Yankees. I go prestigious. Some people say prestigious. I don't know what you do. Prestigious.
I'm a prestigious guy.
All right. Prestigious seems to flow better for me, but whatever. I think both are acceptable. Your Mets, all in capital letters, can enjoy your participation trophies, orange slices, and Capri Suns. We win championships. I tweeted him back and asked what position he played because he used we. I didn't see him in the game last night. But number one, why attack me? Have I not been nice? Have I not been complimentary of the Yankees? Like, I'm getting abused for being a Met fan. We spent 2 hours talking about the Yankees and how great they are. That's number one. Number two, maybe I'll get the curmudgeon trophy today. We win champions. Well, you've won one in 20 years. I'm not trying to be that guy, but can we stop with the whole, you know, we're the New York Yankees? Well, over the last two decades, you've been like everybody else. So why can't you enjoy when your team's coming together is all we're saying. The Royals, the Giants, the Royals have won, have been to two World Series more than you over the last 20 years. Red Sox have won three times. Giants have won three times. Actually, the Mets have been to a World Series more recently than the Yankees. So you keep talking, you keep throwing in my face, oh, well, we're the Yankees. We're about championships. Well, you haven't won that many recently, so why can't you enjoy what's going on right now? I mean, you walk around like your rings are jingling and jangling. That was a long time ago. This is a different team. This is, in 98, I can understand it, because you know what? You went to the playoffs the year before, and you won a World Series in 96. If this was 1979, hey, you won back-to-back series in 77 and 78. This particular Yankee team is held to a standard that hasn't existed in two decades because the game's different now. I'm not saying that those championships, the four you won in 5 years, were easy, but it was a different world. Now you've got to share revenue. Teams are able to rebuild faster. Smaller markets are spending more money than they did before. So what the Yankees are doing right now is tremendous, because you're not supposed to be this good in the current era of baseball, where there seems to be parity, where teams like the San Diego Padres and the Kansas City Royals can go out there and compete for championships, when 20 years ago, there was no shot. So why are you holding this team to a standard that no longer exists? I'm not trying to criticize the Yankees, Peter. I'm just saying that you're holding them to a standard from 20 years ago where championships were expected because they were a big market team with a lot of money and a lot of ability to go out and draft players and do all the great things that they did back in those 90s teams that were amazing, and it was a dynasty. But that was a long time ago. Now you're a team just like everybody else trying to get yours, and they've been very good at it with tremendous regular seasons. But don't tell me we're about championships when you've won one in over 20 years. So why can't you appreciate what's happening right now instead of living to some kind of gold standard from a million years ago?
And also, it's just hurting you. You're just taking away your own joy.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, we're about winning champion. Well, you haven't won one since 2009. You know, after you beat the Mets in 2000, you've only had that one championship, and now it's going on more than 20 years. So why can't you enjoy what's happening right now and just like, I need more, because we're the New York Yankees. Well, you're the New York Yankees in name, but what happened, you know, back in the 20s and the 30s and the 50s and in the 70s and in the 90s, those are those Yankees. These current Yankees are trying to prove they belong. They haven't won anything yet. They're trying to win something. So why can't you appreciate it? Why do they have to be held to some standard from 20 years ago with a different manager? Derek Jeter's gone. Posada's gone. Pettit's gone. Williams gone. O'Neill's gone. They're in the middle of building something new. So appreciate it. I'd say, well, show me more. Show me more. Because we're the New York Yankees. Well, the New York Yankees right now are like everybody else. A squirrel trying to get a nut. And now San Diego can do it. You know, the Mariners can do it. Because it's a different sport now where everybody feels like they can get theirs. And the history has proven that. Who would have thought Kansas City would go back-to-back World Series? The Texas Rangers would go to back-to-back World Series. The San Francisco Giants, who hadn't been able to win a championship in San Francisco, win three in a six-year span after 10 years before that were threatening to move to Tampa.
I mean, the Red Sox went 90 years with nothing, and then they dominated a 20-year span.
Right, so appreciate what you have, Peter.
I'm with you.
And this portion of the K Show on 98.7 is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Superbook Sports is live in New Jersey. Visit superbook.com for all the latest odds and promotions. Have a problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Let's go to the phone lines, 1-800-919-3776. And we'll stay Yankees. Let's go to George in the Bronx. What's up, George?
Hello, Don.
Hello.
Peter, congratulations.
Thank you so much, George. Yes, thank you.
Okay, listen, hey, Don, you're so right, man. For the longest now, Yankees fans in general, they just can't appreciate winning or just be satisfied in any way. I mean, I'm a big Yankee fan. Oh, by the way, first-time caller, I'm a big fan of the show.
Thank you.
But I just love the way this team is playing now, not only because they're winning so much. It's just that, you know, I was thinking when you had that call from Alan Hahn, and he's right. They haven't proven anything. They've been to the playoffs lots. But I think this year is different. I think this season they've corrected the defense. They run the bases better. They have different ways to score. I don't see why people just can't be happy and enjoy it. I think they're going to do well in the playoffs this season. I just wanted to know what you guys thought about that.
Don't know. I mean, everything indicates that they seem to be different. Hitting with runners in scoring position. They're winning without having to rely on the home run. I mean, Peter, was a home run that tied the game last night, but they manufactured that game-winning run.
Yeah, that's the piece that to me that's different this year, Don.
Right. So it's different. So every indication, but until you see it, you just don't know. And that's the beauty of baseball, because as much as I hate and cringe whenever the analytic guys bring it up, it is kind of a crapshoot at times. Who would have thought the Braves would have won last year? Where were they this time last year? Under 500. Nationals, too, when they won, they were under 500, I think, at this time of the year. So sometimes you don't know who's hot, who's going to be healthy. Are you going to run into some buzzsaw team that nobody expects? It's creepy that way. But, yeah, this feels different, because they're doing it in different ways than the teams in the past have.
More of your calls. Let's get to it. 1-800-919-3776. Jamie in Westchester. What's up, Jamie?
Hey, boys. How are you today?
Good, good.
Good. Thanks for all the entertainment every day. I appreciate it. I just wanted to go back to the Knicks for a second.
Okay.
How anybody can get a positive outtake on what the Knicks did last night, it just is unbelievable to me. First of all, Ivy. They were never getting Ivy. They could trade the whole team, and they weren't going to get Ivy. So let's just forget Ivy for a second.
It is humbling, though, like when you hear that, right? Like, nobody wants your players.
Well, yeah, okay, but you're trying to build now. And I've heard a lot of talk from you about building from within. So, I mean, I've been a Knicks fan for 60 years. The worst draft pick I've ever heard or seen is Frederick Weiss, because he never got to the team. Well, here you go. You have the 11th pick, and you throw it away. You're telling me that there's not one player from 11 up to 100 that you could have drafted that was better than nothing. They got nothing. They got draft picks that are protected that they're never going to see. And Brunson, Brunson's okay. I mean, this has been coming for a year and a half. We knew Brunson was going to be here. I mean, besides his father getting hired and all the relationships between Leon Rose and everything. But how could you justify not just throwing away the 11th pick and not bringing in a player to see if he's good?
Well, like Alan said, they're kicking the can down the road. Now they've got 7 picks over the next 3 years, but you're right. But here's the thing, James, Jamie, and it's difficult to give them the benefit of the doubt, but what if they didn't like what was there at 11? Should they just take a player, Peter, just for the sake of taking a player? What if they looked at it, and everybody was saying this draft was kind of weak to begin with. What if they looked at 11 and said, no, we're not feeling it. So let's make a deal and let's get some picks, and maybe we'll feel it next year or the year after or the year after that. Isn't that the prudent thing to do if you're not feeling the player?
Yeah, it is. But I hear the caller's point of, like, really?
Oh.
You're in a spot where how could you not find someone that was worth coming away with something last night?
But you know, Peter, if we're in Miami and the Heat did this, every fan would be flipping out because it's Pat Riley. And everything he touches turns to gold. So you'd be like, oh, he knows something. That what a great move. Well, 7 picks in the next 3 years. Oh, Pat Riley, what a coup. But, you know, Leon Rose, unfortunately, doesn't have the street cred to get that kind of bounce. So the feeling is, well, yeah, they just, it's a nothing burger. They didn't do anything, and we don't trust that they're going to do anything with these picks or make anything happen. It's really reputation, right? Because if Pat Riley were here and he did that, he'd be applauded. It's like every move Bill Belichick made. Oh, well, you know, he knows what he's doing. Well, but Leon Rose doesn't have that kind of credentials.
Right. They earned that. This regime but has not done anything, Don, and on top of not doing anything, don't speak. So they allow the narrative to be told by other people because they don't make moves that have been successful and they haven't spoken.
It's a great point. I think it's a fair point that, you know, you want to hear. You know, never mind guests and all that. We get the availability and all that. The Knicks have treated us very well.
I think guests are
over
whack.
The years, but you know, a statement. You should hold a press conference, answer some questions, give us your thoughts. Now we're left to guess, right? The Alan Hahns of the world are left to guess. The Stephen A. Smiths are left to guess. And what I would say to Leon or to anybody with the Knicks is, wouldn't you want to be able to control the narrative rather than everybody guessing? And because of your history, their guesses are going to be negative more than positive. But, you know, they chose not to speak. So it makes it hard, and we're left to speculate why. And they're not going to get the benefit of the doubt, Peter.
No, they haven't earned it. They absolutely shouldn't. Let's go to Varel in Brooklyn. What's up, V?
Gentlemen, how are we doing today? Good to be back.
My man.
So, Peter, congratulations. You know, I saw you got engaged.
I did. Thank
married.
You.
I invited myself to the wedding already.
Beautiful. Okay.
Well, prepare yourself for not being invited. Yeah, I love the spirit.
And Michael, well, listen, Michael invited himself to be best man, so why not shoot your shot, you know?
Well, he extorted himself into it.
I mean, I figured I'd be a groomsman anyway. I figured I'd be like the fourth one down, you know? Michael, Don, Bear, a couple of your homeboys from college, and then me.
What do you got for us today?
Yeah, here's what I got. So I work with a bunch of Knicks fans, right? And they came in like it was the worst thing that ever happened. I'm not a Knicks fan myself. But as a lifelong New Yorker, I've seen the Knicks do horrible things in the draft. Every person that got drafted from 11 until the end of the night, I had no idea who that person was. I've never heard this kid in my life. I feel like the Knicks did a really good thing by not picking some project to go along with a bunch of the projects that they have on their roster already. They might as well go get some of these picks. And now they have some assets. They may not be the best, but they have more than they have before. They freed up a little bit of cap space. So they can actually do something that might be positive for the team versus, you know, picking a guy who may or may not be good. I still don't know the name of the kid they drafted, but he looked like he was slow.
That's the thing. You have to look at the fact that you have to be patient. And it's tough to ask a fan base that's been waiting for a championship since 1973 to be patient. But that's what the Knicks asked you to do. And, Peter, they get a break because the Knicks fans are passionate. They love this team, so they will hang around. They still will fill that building. MSG will still get ratings off television because they love the Knicks. But we're not going to know whether they're right or wrong for a few years. And that's frustrating in a show-me-now mentality. That's the world we live in right now. Show me.
Well, exactly. And if you haven't had anything to show the last couple of years, and you did show us a little something, and then it all disappeared, you know. And let's not forget, we have a tendency to glamorize what happened, Don, 2 years ago. But let's not forget, just to be honest, even that ended with a thud. It all started the second we got to the playoffs 2 years ago. We saw things changed. They were not the second the crowd showed back up at MSG, Don, and the playoffs started, they became Trae Young's little B word, and nothing seemed to work.
But that's certainly a fair way to look at it, but a negative one. If I looked at it a glass half full, Peter, it didn't take much to get this fan base excited.
No, it doesn't. But
one
we know that.
Playoff when they literally took to the streets outside the Garden. That's what I would tell all the Knicks executives, you don't even really have to get it that right to win these fans over. Like, they're just aching to have something positive happen, and they will be behind you. That's why they're so disappointed, because literally nothing happened last night.
Let's speaking of something positive, let's go to Chris in Mahwah. He wants to talk a little Yankees.
Hey, I was just wanted to say that I disagree a little bit with Alan Hahn's assessment that this adds pressure. To me, it feels like it builds confidence, because the Yankees over the last few years have always seemed like they needed to go up and swing for the fences and basically only rely on themselves. The way they're winning now, however, is they go next guy up. And they say, yeah, hey, you got work a walk. Fine. Get a single. All right. And then do some damage. And it feels like it's a very different way of playing the game that they have done the last few years. I mean, look at what the Rangers did this year. They played a lot of third periods. They came back. They won a lot. And I feel like that really gave them the confidence in order to come back against the Penguins and the Hurricanes that I don't think they would have had if they had worked through that during the regular season.
No, it's a great way to look at it. It certainly is. And we don't know. The fans feel the pressure. But, Peter, will these players feel it, or will they go in with a confidence to believe that they can beat anybody? Yeah, maybe they have the swagger. Do they have the swagger?
Don, this is what frustrates me about this subject, and it's not even just this year, but it's heightened this year because of how good they've been in the regular season. We just don't know. We show up in October, and you see, because the last couple of years, we thought this team had a great shot to roll, and the second they got there, Don, you know what? I'm going to take a step further. If we're being fully honest, when it comes to the true clutch gene, while we're seeing something great this regular season, Don, the truth is, when you really look at it, over the last couple of years, this team has not had the clutch gene. They haven't.
No.
They get to the postseason, whether it was their bats not being there, Gerrit Cole not giving them the start they wanted. Of course, last year we got a great playoff from Giancarlo Stanton. But by and large, Don, so far, if we're judging them on what we've seen, when it comes down to October, they have not been clutch.
No. And there's going to be that feeling, no matter how many wins they have in the regular season, will it be there in October? Yeah, and that 98 team, Peter, that won 114 regular season games, they had won the World Series 2 years before that. So there wasn't that feeling of having to prove anything because they had just won. This team hasn't won anything yet. So that's what's going to be so curious. But sometimes it's not pressure, Peter. Sometimes just blank happens. And maybe that's what's happened over the last couple of years. And maybe now it's going to come together for them. But, again, we don't have a crystal ball. We're just going to have to wait and see what comes in October. But you're right. The clutch gene, at least from the naked eye, didn't look to be there the last few years. Will that change this year?
Well, I'll tell you what's coming up on this program. That would be ENN at 6 o'clock.
That's right.
And plus, tons of your phone calls on every subject known to man. We heard earlier from Buck Showalter on Max Scherzer. He will not be starting on Sunday, but we can talk Mets, who get things started with Miami tonight, Yankees and the Astros, and, of course, the Knicks draft night last night. Peter and Don on the K Show on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Don, it sounds like we're getting a beautiful weekend, huh?
Yeah, nice. It's beautiful out right now. and it's supposed to be nice and warm.
I'm guessing I'm predicting a big pool day tomorrow for the LaGreca clan.
It's tough because we got
tickets. It's true. I have an indoor pool.
And we've got Taekwondo, so I think it'll have to wait till Sunday.
Wait, that's a big day tomorrow.
Yeah, there's a lot going on tomorrow. And they're yellow belts now, so it's serious.
God, I swear, the amount of activities kids do these days. When I was a kid, I think it was literally like, here's a transformer, go downstairs.
Yeah, throw a ball in the corner, so have fun.
You want to play a little basketball? All right, here's a basketball.
A lot Maybe. Of organization now.
Nobody bothers me. That's the Taekwondo that
That's
doing.
Right.
All right, guys, you can get at us on the Twitter if you want, at Don LaGreca, at Rosenberg Radio. That's my Twitter handle, I believe. And 1-800-919-3776. Let's pick it up with Rich in Chatham. What's up, Rich?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Good. Congratulations to you, Peter. Hi,
Thank
Don.
You.
I listen to the show quite often. I've been a Yankee fan forever. I don't understand these people call up. They want to beat up on players that aren't doing good at this moment. Get rid of Hicks. They stole him when they got him. I never badmouth any player because I can't play that good.
No, but it's all right to criticize. I mean, as a fan or as a member, I don't think you have to play in order to have criticism.
Well, I mean, I don't beat them up if they don't play
right
to their card every day.
Sure.
I mean, I think most of those, 90% of those players want to do well. Right? You think that?
Of course they want to do well, but they don't always, you know, you live in a world where the expectations are high and you don't live up to those expectations and you throw money into the mix. It's hard to say they gave the old college try and it'd be enough when you go 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts like Gallo did last night.
Let's go to Alex in Jersey. What's up, Alex?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Peter, congratulations. So I was at the game yesterday. I just want to say that this team is different. The energy is different. It's just amazing team. I don't want to complain. I want to talk about Gallo. I feel like they should give him. I feel like the leash has gotten shorter on Gallo. I feel like they should give him a chance until the All-Star game to maybe get it together like Hicks has. And then if he hasn't figured it out by the All-Star game, I don't think he'll figure it out for the year.
You're right.
And
it might be happening now, Alex. You're facing a right-hander. He's out of the lineup tonight after going 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts. It may not take till the All-Star game, Peter. I think it's starting to happen now. He almost never plays against lefties. Now he's sitting against the righty. He's batting 176. Peter, I don't know if he can make it the next month.
I don't either. I mean, is he given a little bit of extra time, Dom, by how good the team is in spite of it?
Of course. Like,
that
you can't say he's costing them.
Right.
But, you know, but last night during that rally, he struck out. You know, so I guess you can look at it and say, well, maybe he cost them if they didn't get that run from Judge and lost in extra innings. But right now, you cannot say that Gallo or even Hicks' struggles have killed them when they're off to this historic start.
1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Eric right down the street from me here in Jersey City. What up, Eric?
Hey, Peter. How are you?
Good, man.
First of all, Peter, congratulations. And I got to tell you, your swerve the other day was the best thing since Mark Henry's retirement.
What a beautiful reference. The pink jacket. A classic moment. I really tried my best to go wrestling promo style, so I'm glad it worked.
I mean, I was just thinking about all the haters drooling as you built it up, and to have you break their hearts was just it was a sight to behold. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Don, I just wanted to say, you know, you got these Yankee fans, and I am a Yankee fan, have been since, it doesn't matter.
Thank you.
But the worst people on the worst of humanity are on Twitter. So it just makes sense that the worst Yankee fans would be on Twitter. We are not all that arrogant and spoiled. I haven't expected to win the World Series. Last time I expected to win the World Series, Luis Gonzalez broke my heart. I didn't even expect to win in 98 because I remember Sandy Alomar Jr. in 97.
But I can only react to the people that call and tweet. You're right. It's probably a very vocal minority, but they're out there. And it's not just the callers in on Twitter. You know, you heard Alan Hahn. You know, there's a lot of people that I'm friends with that are Yankee fans who feel the same way. So I don't want to pigeonhole everybody based on a few, but we take them as they come, Peter, right? And we take Yankee calls, you know, a lot on this show. And for the most part, you would have to say, with the exception of probably today because it was such a great win and the team's so hot, that it's been negative or picking apart or worried. More so than you see from other fan bases that had maybe similar starts or off to great seasons.
Yeah, no, this is what the Yankee fan base is. We know that.
Well, at least the ones we hear from.
Yeah, certainly the ones we know.
I hope they lose.
Let's hear from Woj, who has an update on the Kyrie Nets situation.
Concern right now for, I think, the Nets organization
yeah.
is negotiations. Listen, people try to gain leverage. If you're Kyrie Irving, you are trying to get the Nets to give you a longer term deal with more guaranteed money than they want to give. The Nets are trying to go in the other direction. Shorter deal, incentivized because he just hasn't been on the floor as much as they'd like the last couple of years. This is getting acrimonious. And I think that's the concern when you look at what, not just Kyrie Irving's future in Brooklyn, but Kevin Durant's future and whether they can hold this thing together right now.
Ew.
Ew. But where does he go?
Dear God.
He's not going to the Knicks. He's not going to the Sixers.
Bing bong!
Maybe Dallas? I'm just looking at the teams on the list, right? Lakers, Clippers, Mavs, Sixers, Knicks. Am I missing anybody? Heat, I think, were also on there. So I'd exclude the Eastern Conference teams. But what do all those teams have in common, Peter? All of them. All the teams that he had on his list. No cap space. Now, the Knicks do have cap space after last night, but they don't have the assets. Nets aren't going to want a bunch of Midland picks. Right? So,
but here's the problem. It's really hard to assess Kyrie's value. Because as a player alone, Don, he's as valuable a player as you could have. But you can't view him that way because he played 29 games last year, and the year before that he missed games, and the way he left Boston was not what you want.
Well, he didn't play in every game he was eligible to play last year either. You know, let's not blame it all on the vaccine, right?
No, that's what I'm saying, that he was eligible for 40 games. He played 29. Right. So of the 40, he still only played 3/4 of it. So I really, it's hard to know what the value in the market could be for Kyrie Listen, if my aunt had hair on her back, she'd be my uncle. Because the fact of the matter is, if he was playing in games, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
No, we wouldn't.
We would just be like, hey, it didn't work out this year. Next year, they'll give it a shot again. But that's not the way things are. And Kyrie is a complex player. All these qualities, we've said this a lot this week, all these qualities Kyrie possesses, I think, make for a terrific human being. It's just about whether or not it is a terrific basketball player.
That's right.
And if you're looking to get someone like him and change your team's fortune, I mean, think about the level of risk. For example, if the Knicks weren't a place, Don, to make a play of it, think about how big of a risk that would be. Yeah, if it pays off, all of a sudden you go from having no point guard in New York to having the best point guard in all of basketball.
Yeah.
But you're scared he won't play. My thought is, Don, for a team like the Knicks, it's worth it. I think the Knicks are at a point where it's worth a gamble. They haven't even gambled on anything recently. There hasn't been. That's the frustrating part for Knicks fans. Is like last night was like they're not even in the game. They don't even want to be in the game.
But what can they give the Nets?
I mean, are you operating under you can't move RJ?
Anybody. I mean, the Nets are going to be making a move that's going to put them on replacing Kyrie and going for a champion if they can convince KD to stay here. Now, if KD's going to go, maybe it's just a full-blown rebuild and you'd want the picks.
Right.
But if you're going to try to replace Kyrie and make a run at it and continue to try to win a championship with KD next year, what do the Knicks have on their roster that's going to help the Nets in that situation?
That's a great point. But tell me this, though. Would the Nets be able to compete with a nucleus, you know, minus Kyrie? If it's KD and Ben Simmons and then a someone like R.J. Barrett or someone of that ilk, is that enough to compete in the East?
I mean, it's enough to compete.
They won't be a favorite to win the championship.
I don't think they'd be a favorite to win.
In all likelihood, those days are over.
Now, the Lakers give up AD. That's a different story. Right? So that's I would think that's a destination. Get him out of the conference. Bring in a star player to replace KD. It's almost a wash. Let's go.
Let's go back to the phones. 1-800-919-3776. Our guy Arsenio in Rutherford. What's up, Arsenio?
What's up, guys? First of all, congratulations, Rosenberg, on your engagement, man. That's awesome, bro.
Really appreciate it. Thank you, man.
So, with yesterday, man, I had a tough time yesterday because I really, really wanted Ivy on the list. So, when the Kings passed on him, we're at five, the Troy's at five. All week we've been hearing that they've been talking. So, you know, we all thought that was going to happen. I think most Knicks fans are mostly upset that obviously that didn't happen. But on the basketball decision-wise, what they did at 11 was smart. They didn't pick somebody who might be a bust, and they got three first-round picks for him. So at the end of the day, I don't think they made a bad decision on what they did. It would have been a bad decision if they took somebody who wasn't going to pan out, and now they're back where like Kevin Knox was, and they drafted him at 10, and they're trading him.
Well, we said that. If you're not in full bloom with what's there at 11, they probably did the right thing. But what we're saying is do they get the benefit of the doubt? The way the Knicks go, that 11th pick will end up becoming a star, and we won't get anything out of the picks they got in the deal.
That's what the fans are saying.
I hope that's not what happens. Because right. You know how that goes.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
But the one thing that's really frustrating for us, we have to stop putting Stephen A. Smith and Spike Lee as like he's like, I understand Spike Lee's a season ticket holder, but like I promise you, Knicks fans don't care what their opinion is on anything of basketball. Like, especially the Knicks. When it comes to Stephen A. Smith, he is just like Greeny with the Jets. Like, I get they're fans, but they're put on TV just to make videos go viral of them praying on their knees. Like, come on, man. Stephen A. Smith,
Stephen does go viral, but he knows what he's talking about. I can see where Spike's on your last nerve. I get that, but
thank you, Arsenio.
But not Stephen. I mean, Stephen's got his finger on the pulse of the league. I mean, he gets passionate. He's a Knicks fan, but he knows what's going on. But Spike, between the Curry thing, between you know being in Brooklyn rooting for the Nets, I get where Knicks fans
are.
You're
out on our guy Spike as a Knicks fan right now. You're out. Let's just be honest.
I don't know if he's out, but he's. You look at him a little differently.
I said you're out on him. I don't think he's out. I think you're.
I think a lot of Knicks fans are.
Well, listen, you're a voice of the people. ENN coming up just 15 minutes away, and more of your calls next at 1-800-919-3776. Peter and Donald on Friday on the K Show on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.